Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. Our guest is Dr. Stephen Blank. He is these days a senior fellow for Russia at the American Foreign Policy Council. Having capped a distinguished career as a professor of national security studies at the Army War College, an extraordinarily prolific contributor to public policy debate about, Russia, the former Soviet Union, and our interests as they bear upon the ambitions most immediately of the guy who is running the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin. Stephen Blank, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Well, good morning, Frank. It's great to be here.
I wanted to start with the travels the president has embarked upon this week. He will be getting to the Russians in a little bit, but most immediately he is stopping in Warsaw to make what is considered to be a major speech about U.S.-European relations. Talk a little bit about what's going on there at the moment and the importance of that speech as you see it, Steve.
Well, what's going on in Poland, really there's two more or less simultaneous summits taking place in Warsaw. One is President Trump's visit. The other is a program called the Three C's, which is a Polish initiative which used to be called Intermarium, which is Latin for between the seas, to create some sort of unity in Central and Eastern Europe between the Baltic, Black, and Adriatic seas. Right now, the program is essentially an attempt to gain some sort of investment and trade unity among those states, but it's clear that the government in Warsaw has a broader agenda. And it will be interesting to see if Trump will support that agenda, because that would have significant implications for European security. At the same time, he is going to make a speech in Warsaw, whose terms we don't know yet, outlining his administration's views on European security. And Warsaw is a great place to make it, because Poland is an up-and-coming economic country. It is a staunch ally of the United States and member of NATO and of the European Union. And its security is very much at risk from Russian aggression in Ukraine and threats launched by Russia against the Baltic states and against Poland. So it's important for Trump to show the flag, so to speak, in Warsaw. And I think to outline what I hope will be a robust U.S. policy regarding European security.
One of the recommendations you've made in the Wall Street Journal last week, Steve Blank, was to arm Ukraine. Talk a little bit about how that fits into a strategy of strengthening our ties to the Europeans, and particularly at this moment, as things are looking rather dark with the Russians.
Well, as everybody knows, Russia's aggression against Ukraine continues, and every day there are probes by the Russian forces. It's not right to call them separatists. They are fully integrated now into the Russian army. Against Ukrainian forces on Ukrainian territory, and the Ukrainian military, for all of its prowess and bravery, is overmatched in terms of weapons and has taken a lot of casualties, and the country has taken a lot of casualties and absorbed millions of refugees. So the idea of giving Ukraine weapons that are defensive, counter-battery, anti-tank, and so on, would be a means for them to equalize the situation and impose greater costs on Russia in order to force Russia to go back and observe the Minsk Accords, which are the only political process going with Ukraine. Russia has refused to adopt these, and instead is demanding that the U.S. impose on Ukraine what I call an assisted suicide in accepting these proposals, which would essentially undermine Ukrainian sovereignty de facto. Unless somebody steps up and forces the Kremlin to accept the higher costs of its aggression, then we're going to have this situation going on. We're going to have a massive Russian military buildup, which is occurring inside of Russia near Ukraine, and a state of armed siege in Europe, which benefits nobody, really. So I hope that Trump will take this opportunity to stand in the line of American presidents going back to Truman, where our policy has been to support people who want to defend their own freedom and give them the means to do so.
You've described in some detail in both the piece that you had in the Wall Street Journal, as I mentioned, and in Newsweek, what this looks like. I'm wondering whether there is now in prospect, as a result of what you've kind of described as a new Stalin in the Kremlin, in Vladimir Putin, a man who can only be dissuaded from engaging in such behavior by a very dramatic buildup in military capabilities on the part of the West as well.
Well, when I said it's in nobody's interest, I meant in terms of people. It's in Vladimir Putin and his entourage's interest to incite a state of siege or hostility between Russia and the West. It's certainly not in the Russian people's interest, because if you look at what's happening inside Russia, they're paying a very severe price. The true costs are being hidden, but the fact is that there was nobody in Western Europe, in Europe at all, or in the United States, who was threatening Russia's security. This is all a fantasy made up by Putin to stay in power. As a result of his desire to stay in power, and when I used the analogy to Stalin in the article last week, it's not that he is Stalin. We haven't gotten to that level, thank God. But that he has more power, I think, over Russia than anybody since Stalin. That's going back to 1953. What he is now showing in his domestic policies is that he is deathly afraid of the possibility that the Russian people may take out their frustrations by demonstrating against or even attacking his own regime, because he has created hundreds of units involving thousands of people who are armed in order to protect the regime against its own people. There are what professionals call multiple militaries inside of Russia, under his personal control, under the government's control, and so forth, whose main mission seems to be just to keep Vladimir Putin in power and suppress demonstrations, and if need be, violently. We also have seen many political murders and threats of violence against dissidents, including the return of the Gulag and even psychiatric prisons under Putin.
When you see the president of the United States sitting down, as he's expected to, on the margins of the G20 meeting in Hamburg this week, with Vladimir Putin, what would your counsel be to President Trump? How to handle him? What sorts of steps should be taken? Well, in the run-up to it, I suppose, but certainly what kind of posture struck at that meeting as well?
President Trump needs to take the line that although we would like to be able to cooperate with Russia on issues of mutual interest, or what we think should be mutual interest, the fact is that Russia is undermining itself by attempting to attack the United States. Russia, for example, is following China's lead on Korea. I don't really see how it benefits Russia to have North Korea as a nuclear power, yet they are acting as, along with China, as North Korea's defense attorney on that issue. In the Middle East, they are supporting a government of Syria which is, I think, untenable in the midterm, not even in the long term, and is going to suck out resources from Russia in the vain pursuit that Russia can chase the will of the wisp of being a great power in the Middle East against the will of local residents. Militarily in Europe, it invaded Ukraine on a pretext. That has gotten very little benefit to Russia and is costing the Russian people a great deal. And it's also threatening Russian security by its threatening Europe, which is much more powerful and which has now begun to rearm. I would make it clear to Putin that we intend to keep going as we have unless he understands that we have no ulterior motive other than defense of our interests, and that he is aiming to put Russia into the condition that he most dreads, that is upheaval. There are things that can be done with Russia and for Russia's benefit by the United States, which are also to our benefit. For example, stopping nonproliferation. But if he insists on thwarting those kinds of objectives, then he and the Russian people will have to pay the price, and we intend to enforce it. On the other hand, if there is a basis for negotiation, fine.
Thank you so much for the great work you do, Steve, at the American Foreign Policy Council, and your many, many contributions. Some 900 monographs, scholarly articles, and books are an impressive documenting of these challenges, and we look forward to further visit with you soon. Next up, Diana West joins us. We'll talk about totalitarians in our time and lessons from the past, as well as the Islamist threat at the moment in Europe and here. Straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.